only the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Luke chapter number 9. We're going to begin reading in verse number 57 tonight. Luke chapter number 9. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Hands Firm and Eyes Fixed. Hands firm and eyes fixed. Father, help us tonight. Teach us. Father, what a wonderful passage. What a convicting and challenging passage. What a passage of consideration for us tonight. Father, you've called us to a wonderful life of service. Father, it is worth it all. But Father, I pray that you'd help us, because we are prone to make excuse after excuse after excuse of why we can't do what you've called us to do. So Father, I pray that you would simply challenge us tonight to keep our hands firm and our eyes fixed. Teach us and help us tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The passage before us tonight deals primarily with discipleship. The individuals, three of those, if you will, tonight, the individuals described have either volunteered or been called to the wonderful privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice in verse number 57, the individual volunteers. By the way, we know in Matthew chapter number 18 that this individual is a rabbi. This is an educated man. This is a man who would have known the Word of God. And he volunteers. He said, I will follow thee. And then we see in verse number 59 that the second individual, Christ, says, hey, follow me. He asks him, he calls him to follow him. And then the third individual in verse number 61, he does exactly like the first individual in verse 57. He said, I will follow thee. The Lord concludes the passage in verse number 62 with a farm analogy. Living in a mostly agrarian society, the analogy was easily understood in the Lord's day. And by the way, it's easily understood for us in our day, especially where we live. We understand the analogy given in verse number 62. The farmer's hands were to be firm and his eyes were to be fixed. His hands were to be firm on the plow and his eyes were to be fixed straight ahead in order to plow a straight row. The idea is, look, when you turn back, that's when... You ever plowed a row like that? My daddy hated a crooked row. If he ever plowed a crooked row, he'd go back and plow it again. He wasn't going to have a crooked row. That's the idea in verse number 62, is to plow a straight row. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks with three different hopeful disciples in these six verses. But each one of them has an excuse as to why they can't follow him or can't follow him at the moment. Notice how many times we see the phrase, Jesus said. Verse number 58, and Jesus said, verse 57, the hopeful disciple says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest, and Jesus said. And verse number 59, the individual says, Christ says, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And then notice verse 60, Jesus said. Verse 61 again, and then verse 62, and Jesus said. Can I submit a statement to us tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ is hardly interested in our meager excuses. He is hardly interested in our meager excuses. By the way, can you imagine if a pastor responded to an individual the way Christ responded to these three individuals? They came with their excuses to Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me say this. I believe these were probably sincere individuals. I believe they had a heart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would someone come and say, "I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest"? Why would he do that if he wasn't sincere? Why would he do that if he didn't have a heart? Maybe his heart was stirred to go serve. I believe these individuals were sincere. I don't believe that they were just blowing hot air, if you will. They were sincere. But notice Jesus' responses. He said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus said, "Okay." He said, "The foxes have holes and the birds have nests. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. I don't have a home. Are you going to follow me if you don't have a place to sleep?" You see, Jesus Christ is not interested in our small excuses. And I wonder what the reaction of individuals would be if, when excuses are made in the day and time in which we live, if the pastor made a comment or responded in a similar fashion as Christ did. Now, I understand I'm not Christ. I get that. I understand a pastor is not Christ. But I believe a pastor has a right to make a response when someone gives an excuse. And if we did that, what would be the reaction? You know what the reaction from many people would be? "How dare you? How dare you say that to me?" Well, Jesus Christ was bold. For anyone to think that Jesus Christ was mealy-mouthed or sissy or anything other than a man and anything other than direct and frank and bold, right here is one of the examples. He said, "Look, if you're going to follow me, it's going to be hard. If you're going to follow me, don't make the excuse that you need to go bury your father. It requires complete commitment." Modern day Christians will bend over backwards to make excuse after excuse as to why they can't serve or follow the one who gave himself freely. Freely he gave himself for us. But let me say this tonight. Christ has an answer for each excuse. By the way, do we know what the answer is? You know what Christ's answer for each excuse was? This is my paraphrase. You know what the answer was? Just be committed. That was his answer. Just be committed. Look, if you're going to follow me, then why all the excuses? Then why all of the obstacles? Why are you letting all these things be a distraction to me? If you're going to follow me, just follow me. Just be committed. That's his answer. I want to read the lyrics from a song. The group today, before they left after lunch in our home, they sang this. Dr. Fisher had the girls sing this, and he said, "Pastor, Miss Beverly, this is for you." And they sang this song to us, and I told them, "Y'all need to stay. This goes perfect with my message tonight." But they sang the song, "I Want My Life to Count for Jesus." You heard it? It's a beautiful song. Many of you probably have. It says, "All want their lives to count for something." That's true, isn't it? "To leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will come to nothing. Time will erase whatever we do." And then the chorus, "I want my life to count for Jesus. For earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain." Inside my heart there burns a question. What was I placed on earth here for? That's a great question, isn't it? What was I placed here for? Why am I here? A lot of people ask that question. By the way, perfectly fine question. Why was I placed here? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord's. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. And tonight I pray that we will simply be reminded and challenged to keep our hands firmly on the plow and our eyes fixed upon the prize. Let me give you three statements tonight about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three statements that we find, three truths, if you will, that we find from this passage tonight. Number one, first of all, it is an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an honor, it is a privilege, it's an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an honor to follow Him. That's the word that is used several times in these six verses. It is an honor to follow Him. By the way, there's much wrapped up in that word, isn't it? That word follow, when we think of follow, we think of someone leading the way and we're right behind them, we're following them. And by the way, that's true. That's what we do when we follow Jesus Christ, right? Christ is leading the way. His Word is leading the way. And what do? We follow right behind. Listen, it's an honor to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as His disciple. It's an honor to preach for the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he tell the second individual? The second individual says, I need to go bury my father. By the way, the idea there isn't that his father is already dead. The idea is that, hey, I need to wait until my father passes away so that I can take care of his estate, so that I can go bury him. Look, how long would that be? Would it be years? Would it be months? We don't know, but the idea is not that his father has just died, but that, hey, when my father does die, I need to go bury him. And what does Christ tell him to do? Look at your passage there. What does he tell him to do? Go and preach the kingdom. Look, it is an honor to follow him. It's an honor to preach for him. And by the way, you don't have to be a preacher to preach for him. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit to preach for him. It's an honor to follow him. It's an honor to follow his word. By the way, first of all, because his word is pure. His word is perfect. His way is perfect. It's an honor to follow Him. It's an honor to preach for Him. Thirdly, it's an honor simply just to work for Him. What does verse number 62 say? Jesus said, look, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It's the idea is, look, you three individuals, you have put your hand to the plow. You want to follow me. You want to serve me. You want to work. Look, if you've put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Just keep working. Just keep serving. Don't let all of these distractions keep you from serving me. Don't give the excuses. Now, by the way, were these excuses? And by the way, really, we only have two excuses. The first individual, we don't have him making a response, per se, in this passage. Jesus just says, look, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I don't have a place to lay my head. You need to think about this. You said you're going to follow me whithersoever I go. Okay, you need to think about that for a moment. It's the idea of counting the cost of service. But the other two give excuses. Tonight, first of all, it is an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honor to follow Him. It's an honor to preach. It's an honor to work. Look, it is not a drudgery. Or at least it shouldn't be. It's not something to dread. It's not something, whoa, I have to read my Bible today. I have to get into the Word. That's an honor. Because it's the Word that guides us. God's Word guides our lives. It ought not be something that, oh my goodness, here we go. What does Joshua 1:8 say? But this book of the law shall what? Shall not depart out of thy mouth. By the way, we talk about devotions and quiet time and all of that. And some people call them devos because that's a cool word. It's devotions. But by the way, I've got a better phrase. How about we have not depart times? I was thinking about this verse this week. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So how about we have, instead of, well, I have my quiet time or have my devotions, how about we have a not depart time? This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. Use that. That ought to help you to remember, hey, I haven't had my not depart time yet. Y'all aren't buying it, I get it. It's an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honor to follow him. It's an honor to preach. It's an honor to work. It's an honor to do what? By the way, it's an honor to give our life for him. Because we preach to the teens during Teen War the subject matter of the fact that Jesus Christ is worth it. Worth it. And dear friend tonight, he's worth everything that I am, everything that I have, everything who I am. He's worth it all, isn't he? Because of what he's done for me. Number one tonight, it is an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is a disciple anyway? It's a follower. It's a student, a pupil, someone who wants to learn. We talk about disciples of certain people. This chef is a disciple of this well-known chef. What does that mean? They're a follower. They're a student. They're a pupil. They learn from that individual. Look, we're all disciples of different people. We all learn from different people. When you went to college and you learned a certain subject matter, you were a disciple of those teachers and of that subject matter. You learned that subject matter, did you not? You were a disciple of that. Okay, that's what we are with Christ. We are learners, we're students, we're pupils, we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, not only is it an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, but secondly, there are hindrances to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's two that are mentioned here. Number one, creature comforts. And number two, family. There are hindrances to being a disciple. By the way, we're not talking about being saved. We're talking about being a disciple. There are hindrances to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are they? Creature comforts and family. I am thankful for creature comforts. Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean what verse 58 says. What does Jesus reply to this first individual? The first individual says, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay, that's a grand statement, and I'm glad you made that statement, but can you back that up? Will you really follow me wherever I go? Because Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Hey, dear gentlemen, I don't have a house to live in. I don't have a home. I don't know where I'm going to lay my head every night. I don't know where my food's going to come from every day. You know what stops many people, what hinders many people from being a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Creature comforts. From keeping them from doing what God wants them to do. By the way, you know why there's not as many people here tonight as there were this morning? Creature comforts. Creature comforts. Well, it's too hard to get back up. I've had my afternoon nap and I'm still sleepy. I'm just going to stay in the recliner. I'm not going back. Wow. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ was here, what he would say to an excuse like that. Or whatever the excuse may be. My favorite TV program's on Sunday night. I don't know. What are the hindrances? What are the hindrances from many young people today surrendering to go to the mission field? And by the way, honestly, it's not even like it used to be. You still have creature comforts on the mission field. FaceTime. I mean, you can still talk to family. You still have pretty much everything that you have back home. But you know what keeps many people from going? It's creature comforts. It's not going to be like it is in the USA. It's not going to be like it is back home. And so, I don't want anybody to surrender who's not called. But I can guarantee you, with everything that's in me, there are more young people being called to the ministry today than that are going. I can almost guarantee you that. God is still calling out people to serve Him. God is still calling out people to go in the ministry. God is still calling people to go to the mission field. God is still calling people to be pastors and to be pastors' wives and to be evangelists and whatever you want to, whatever ministry you want to put in there. God is still calling. What keeps them from going? Creature comforts. We're comfortable. By the way, I'm not against that. I love being comfortable. But what if I didn't have a place to lay my head every night? What if I couldn't go to the microwave and throw a bag of popcorn in there and pop it and, man, I have my snack? You see, we're spoiled. Now, again, I'm not diminishing that. I believe God has blessed America for many, many reasons, many good reasons. But we are so spoiled and we're so comfortable. Man, you know what? It's too hot to go knock on doors. It's the middle of July. It's 90 degrees outside. It's too hot to go knock on the door. I may sweat a little bit. Creature comforts. Jesus said, look, the fox has a hole. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. There are hindrances to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of those is creature comforts. One of those is having the financial well-being, if you will, and being able to have a place to come home every night, and being able to have all the food that we want, and not to have any kind of... never to be uncomfortable. And I'm telling you, that's killing us as Americans, spiritually. Because we're so fat and sassy that we don't want to give up any... Can I just be honest tonight? You know why some teenagers won't go to camp? Because they don't want to give up their phone for a week. And I say, are you kidding me? There are some teenagers who won't go to camp because they're afraid they're going to have to give their phone up for a week. They're afraid they're not going to be with their friends for a week. They're afraid they're not, or not afraid, they know, I'm not going to have my vehicle for a week. I'm not going to have my phone for a week. I'm not going to be able to be around my friends for a week. I'm going to be around all that preaching for a whole week. Lord, help us. Phones. And I'm not trying to be an old fogey right now. I'm just telling you what. We don't need those phones as much as we think we do. We don't. Now, I get it. They're good tools. And boy, there's lots of information. And boy, I get all that. And they are good tools if we use them right. But we surely don't need them as much as we think we do. There are some people, if you don't respond to them immediately, they think you're dead. I sent a text 5 minutes ago and I haven't heard back. Do you remember the day when you had to call and leave a message and you might get a call maybe that night when the person got home from work, but probably you might not get a call until the next day. And now, boy, if it's not, I send messages to some people and it's almost like as I didn't even think I finished the message and I already got a message back. I was like, whoa! ESP, they knew I was going to send them, but they already sent the message back. And boy, it's like, whoa, if I don't get a response immediately, I think you fell off the earth. Are you okay? You didn't respond to me immediately. And I tell you what, and many of y'all know this, look, I don't keep my phone on me all the time. I don't. Now, I try to for emergency's sake, but I just don't. And if I don't answer your text right away, I will answer it, I promise you. But it may be a little while because I'm not going to stay tied to my phone all the time. I'm not going to stay tied to that inanimate object when I have other things that need to be done. And some teenagers, I'm not going to go to camp because I'm not going to have my phone this week and I can't check my Twitter and I can't text my girlfriend or I can't text my boyfriend or I can't do this. And how archaic. They won't even let us have a phone at this camp. Creature comforts. God help us. Some might say, well, Pastor, you're just being old because you are old. No, that's what this passage is talking about. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is an honor. And there are many hindrances to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those is called creature comforts. One of those is we don't ever want to get out of our comfort zone. One of those is we don't ever want to feel a little uncomfortable. If it's too hot, turn the air up. If it's too cold, turn the heat on. We don't ever want to be uncomfortable. I'm thankful for heat. I'm thankful for air. Dr. Fisher was talking today about preaching up north this past couple of months, and he said, you know, up there they don't have air conditioner because they don't have a whole lot of hot days. He said, but it's been hot. It's been hot up there in June and July. And he said, my goodness, I told him, why can't you have an air conditioner just for one service, just for my service? All right, I get it. We like air conditioning. We like heat. I like heat in the winter, air conditioner in the summer. But you know what? Some people on the mission field don't have that. And they still go. And they still serve. Because it's not about how comfortable they feel. It's about their service for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, parents, I think we need to help our kids not to be so tied to inanimate objects all the time. Not inanimate objects, but objects that have no eternal value. We need to help them not to be tied to those so much. Our young, and I'm going to run a couple of rabbits here, and that's okay. But our kids don't even know how to write letters anymore. Well, we don't have to. We just send texts. Mm-mm. Somebody gives you something, you ought to send them a thank you letter. A thank you note. Not just, now, somebody gives me something, a lot of times I will immediately, thank you so much for that, and I'll follow it up with a thank you note. I'm not just going to do a text. No, they're going to get a note written in my handwriting. Oh, that's 1970. No, that's just having good manners. That's just decorum. And we're walking away from those things. Creature comforts. And we're allowing ourselves, and I say myself, we're allowing ourselves to be so comfortable that we don't want to get out of our comfort zone to serve God Almighty. Number one, it is an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, there are hindrances to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, creature comforts, but number two, family. Now let me ask you tonight, is God against family? No. Read your Bible. God is not against family. God is for family. Read Ephesians 5. Read Ephesians 6. Read Colossians chapter 3. Read Proverbs. God is for the family, but not in place of Him. And He's saying here, twice. He only mentions the creature comforts once. He mentions family twice. You know how many young people, more than have not gone into the ministry because of creature comforts, you know how many young people haven't gone into the ministry because of family? Because a mama said, hey, I don't want you going to the mission field. I need you right here. Or a daddy said, no, I want you to come into the family business. I don't want you going to the mission field. No, you need to come stay right here. And twice in this passage, family is mentioned. Verse number 59, Christ says, look, follow me. And the gentleman, he says, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. There's a lot of discussion about what that means. I believe it means you're alive in Christ. Let the dead people bury their dead. You have more important things to do than bury your dead. Now, is Christ against you having a funeral for your family member? Absolutely not. But the point he's making is, look, I am more important than family. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. Well, if my family has an activity and it's church time and I have to pick between family and church, I'm going to my family. That's wrong. That's wrong. If it's between your family and God, you're going to choose your family? No, it ought to be God. And he said, look, let the dead bury their dead. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Anything wrong with that? No. By the way, Elisha did that. When Elijah threw the mantle on him, when he knew that he was going to be a disciple of Elijah, more specifically a disciple, a prophet of Jehovah God, he went back and told his family goodbye, but he went back and he broke up the plow and used it to start a fire, and he sacrificed those oxen, didn't he? Burned his bridges, said, I'm not coming back to this. I'm not coming back to this lifestyle. I'm serving Jehovah God. I'm not going to come back and be a farmer again. I'm burning it all. You know, many times family hinders us from being a proper disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, either by just their snarky remarks or by them saying, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to stay here, or whatever the case may be, or maybe humiliating us because of the stand that we take, and we kind of cower back a little bit and kind of let down our stand a little bit. There are hindrances to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can't allow either one of those to be hindrances. Whether it's the creature comforts or whether it's family, we've got to keep serving God. Pastor, I don't know that you think family is important. You know better than that. You know better than that. But here's the truth tonight. My wife and my three children, as much as I love them, and I'll do anything for them, they ought not be more important in my life than Jesus Christ. Now, I'll admit I have made them more important than Jesus Christ sometimes. But they ought not be. Jesus said, if you don't hate your brother, you don't hate your sister, you don't hate mom and dad. He wasn't saying to hate them. He was making the point, if you don't love me more than them, if you won't take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. You see, it's an honor to be his disciple, but there are hindrances. There are things that come into our lives that keep us from doing what God has called us to do. And tonight, we can't allow those things. The Bible says in verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Look, we need to have our hands firm and our eyes fixed upon that which God has called us to do. And if God calls you, listen, young person, if God calls you one day to leave family, to leave America, to go somewhere else and serve Him, do it! Do it! If my kids one day, if one of my kids comes and says, you know, Daddy, I think the Lord's calling me to this country. Am I going to be sad when they go? In my flesh I will be, because I know I'm not going to get to see them as much as I would if they were here. In that vein, I'm going to be sad. But I ought not be sad because, oh, man, you're going to be a missionary? What a waste of your life. What a waste. You can make so much money. Why don't you just stay home and make a bunch of money and give it to the church? That would be better than you going to be a missionary. Not if it's not God's will. Now, if it's God's will for somebody to make a bunch of money and give it to the church, then praise God. Dr. Fisher mentioned the individual this morning, Brother Anderson. Brother Anderson he's probably in his 80s, maybe even be in his 90s now. Very successful businessman. Very successful. And is the individual who probably funded much of the start of Commonwealth Baptist College. By the way, the individual, no matter what you think about the college or not, the individual who helped start Howells Anderson, that's his name, Anderson. So two colleges he's given much of his money to because he thinks it's worth it. Very successful businessman. So, you know, and that, I believe that was God's will for his life. To be a successful businessman and to give and to give and to give. That may be God's will for your life, but if it's not, don't settle for something less. If God's will is for you to go to the mission field, then don't settle to stay home and be a doctor and make a lot of money and put it in the offering plate. You're settling for second best. Number one tonight, it is an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, there are hindrances to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Creature comforts and family. And God help us. We could stay there so long tonight, but God help us with those. Young people, God, let God help you with that. Well, I don't want to do that because whatever. Let God help you with that. And let God show you that, look, it's worth serving Him. Nothing better than serving God Almighty. And nothing worse than serving this world. Nothing worse. You'll waste your life. number three tonight. It is an honor to be a disciple. Number two, there are hindrances to being a disciple. And number three, there will be either a harvest or heartache for the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciple who puts his hands firmly on that plow and who keeps his eyes fixed upon the prize is going to have a harvest. But the disciple who maybe started with his hands on the plow but looks back, it's going to be heartache. Can you give me some examples of that tonight? Don't you think a little bit? The most obvious, Miss Carrie said, Demas. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. What does the Bible say about Demas? You know what? I believe with all my heart, I believe the Bible bears this out. I believe Demas had his hands on the plow. And I believe he was plowing. And I believe he had his eyes fixed upon the prize for a good bit of his time. But something happened. Demas looked back. And the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world. You know what that is? That's creature comforts. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We can either have a harvest or we can have heartache. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? God told him, don't look back. I'm saving you out of that mess. I'm delivering you out of fire and brimstone. Don't look back. What happened when she looked back? Pillar of salt. That's right, Jacob. A pillar of salt. It can either be a harvest or it can be a heartache. Here's the challenge very simply tonight. Hands firmly on the plow, eyes fixed on the prize. And the prize isn't back there. The prize is up there. The prize is when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Hands firmly on the plow, plowing a straight line, serving God, following God, understanding it's an honor to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that He is worthy of every bit of my work that I can give Him. He's worthy of all of my service. He is worth it. Whatever word you want to put in the it, He's worth it. Hands firmly on the plow, eyes fixed on the prize. You know what the prize is? It's a harvest. It's a harvest of souls. It's a harvest of a holy life. It's a harvest of one day hearing, enter in. Enter in the rest of into the rest of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hands firm on the plow, eyes fixed on the prize. Not looking back and saying, look what my neighbor has. Oh, look at the toys that my neighbor has. Look at what the other people in church have. No. Got the blinders on, eyes fixed upon the prize. Hands on the plow, eyes fixed on the prize. That's our challenge tonight, dear friend. Not looking back. Young person, why wouldn't you make that commitment tonight? Why wouldn't you say tonight, Lord, I don't know what you have for me for the future. I don't know what kind of occupation. I don't know what your will is for me for the future. I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know any of that yet. But Lord, I want to make a commitment tonight. And with your help and with your strength and with your power, I'm going to keep my hands firmly on the plow and my eyes fixed on the prize. Adults tonight, that's not just for young people. Because sometimes the older we get, we start looking back. And we start thinking, what have I missed? What good things does everybody else have and what have I missed? I'm so thankful when those young ladies sang that song to us today. And I wanted to cry, but I wasn't going to cry in front of a bunch of girls. Because that song ought to mean everything to all of us tonight. It's not about the world's riches. It's not adding to the riches that we already have. No. It's seeking eternal gain. Hands firm and eyes fixed. Let me ask you tonight, is that you tonight? Are your hands firm? Are your eyes fixed? Or have you been recently looking back a little bit? Looking behind you, looking around you, and looking what other people have, and looking at the creature comforts that some may have that you don't, and you've been saying, I deserve that just as much as they do. No. Hands firmly on the plow, plowing a straight road, looking straight ahead, because my eyes are fixed on the prize. It's an honor to be a disciple. Listen, dear friend, I wouldn't lie to you tonight. There are hindrances, and they're real. And they come when you least expect it. And that old devil gets on your shoulder and says, hey, why don't you look back a little bit? Don't you regret that you've wasted your life and you don't have anything? That's what the devil will tell you. And you know when he comes and tells you that, you know what you need to do? Keep your hands on the plow firmly and keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Because there's a day when we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he's hardly going to be interested in my meager excuses. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Father, thank you for the challenge from your word. Father, I don't know hearts tonight, but you definitely do. Father, I pray for young people and old people alike and everyone in between. Father, every single one of us tonight who know you, who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, every single one of us tonight need to keep our hands firmly on the plow and our eyes fixed on the prize. And Father, if there would be someone here tonight who has looked back a little bit in recent days, been looking back to see what used to be in the past and maybe what they're missing a little bit right now because they've just been faithful serving you. They've had their eyes fixed upon the prize. They've been looking straight ahead. But in recent days, something's been tempting them to look back. Maybe there's a young person in here tonight, maybe a teenager, Lord, that has been looking over the fence a little bit and saying, you know, my mom and dad don't let me do that. My mom and dad surely don't let me do that. That kind of looks like it's fun. Father, I pray that you'd help some young people tonight to keep their hands firmly on the plow and keep their eyes fixed on the prize. Father, help us with that tonight. I pray that there would be individuals, whether they come forward or not, but Father, I pray that there would be some individuals, teenagers, young adults, seniors, middle-aged tonight, Father, that would simply in their hearts say, Lord, until you call me home, whether it's by the rapture or by death, with your help, Lord, I want to keep my hands firmly on the plow and keep my eyes fixed on the prize. Father, help us with that tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd ask for us to stand if you're physically able. Paige is going to play for us tonight. Dear friend, if you need to come, believer, how is it with you? Are your hands firmly on the plow? Are your eyes fixed on the prize? Listen, dear friend, I understand it's easy to look back. I get it. It's easy to look around. Boy, the devil, he just makes everything look so shiny, makes everything look so wonderful. And boy, it's easy for us to begin to look back and begin to think, oh, what have I missed? You know what you've missed? Which is a good thing. You've missed a lot of heartache. That's a good thing. Don't let the devil tell you any different. If you've been serving God and been faithful and just staying at it and had your hands on that plow, and man, you've been looking straight ahead and looking straight ahead and looking straight ahead and you haven't been looking back, thank God for that. Don't let the devil lie to you tonight. And don't let the devil make you regret for living that way. Three hopeful disciples. Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. Really? I don't have a place to lay my head. Are you okay with that? Hey, follow me. Lord, I will, but I need to go bury the dead. I need to go bury my father. No, no, no. Let the dead bury their dead. And you preach the kingdom. Lord, I'll follow you, but first, let me go bid farewell to those at my home. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That word fit means usable, means well-placed. Dear friend, God, help us to be fit. God, help us to be usable tools. God puts things in our hands. He puts tools in our hands, but we need to put ourselves in His hands so that we can be a usable tool in His hands. Hands firmly on the plow, our eyes fixed on the prize.